Chapter 13. The 2160-year cycle between Rome and the United States. The 539-year cycle was very impressive, demonstrating mathematical precision that was accurate to within 48 hours across more than half a millennium. Michel Helmer predicted there would be a major French rebellion at least 4 years in advance. And indeed, more than 8 million people were inspired to join the students' fight for freedom. If Helmer and Masson were right, then each age of the zodiac breaks down into quarter cycles, in which historical events will repeat themselves with astonishing accuracy. If you read the original translation on my website, you will find many different examples of exact turning points in history, separated by 539 years. No one but David Steinberg, his immediate family, and the potential book publisher had ever seen this manuscript. As far as I could tell, no one other than Helmer and Masson had ever discovered these cycles repeating in our history, though Peter Lemazurier's book had put me on the lookout 6 years earlier. Helmer and Masson's research seemed to be unique and utterly groundbreaking. If this phenomenon was real, there should be many more examples of the 539-year cycle than Helmer and Masson discovered, which should be detectable through further research. It should be possible to crunch vastly detailed historical databases with supercomputers in order to look for more patterns like this. I was equally surprised when I found out that the 2160-year age of the zodiac cycle was precisely guiding the movement of historical events as well. Furthermore, for me, an American, this data was up close and personal, as there was a direct connection between historical events in the Roman Empire and 20th century events in the United States. A 2160-year zodiac cycle seems staggeringly long. If we go back 2160 years, that's older than the New Testament and older than the time Yehoshua walked the earth. We now find ourselves back in an area we lovingly call BC, but the great cycles of history do not even blink across this seemingly vast distance. Masson's research had not been updated since 1980 in the version of the manuscript I was given. Once I started combining 30 years' worth of research together in 2009 and 2010 to write the source field investigations, I soon found myself irresistibly drawn into a new quest. I had to know if this zodiac cycle was still at work today. It didn't take long to discover that these cycle connections between Rome and the United States were still working just as well in the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s as they were when Masson wrote the book in 1979 to 1980. Before I show you how well the zodiac cycle is still working, I will take you through all the stunning data points Helmer and Masson discovered. Once I saw the truth, everything changed. I had to step back, take a deep breath, and rethink everything I thought I knew about life on Earth. The great structure of story that we find in almost every ancient myth and modern-day movie on Earth is guiding our lives far more than we could ever believe. Events in our history become equivalent to major turning points in screenplays, but hardly anyone on Earth understands that there is a hidden intelligence directing all of this. The political events of the 1960s had many interesting connections to the hero's journey storyline, and they will take on even more significance once we see how they connect with similar political events in Rome. Political events from the 1960s and 1970s fit the hero's journey storyline. The assassinations of JFK, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert F. Kennedy certainly qualified as dark nights of the soul, or all is lost moments, and could also be classified as inciting incidents that sparked millions of new quests. The Beatles quickly rose to enormous popularity in America after their landmark appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show on February 9, 1964, less than 3 months after John F. Kennedy was shot on November 22, 1963. America needed a new hero, and the teenage girls in the studio audience screamed and cried for the simple love songs of the Beatles with unprecedented, ear-shattering volume. This was the most watched event in television history for its time, drawing an estimated 73 million viewers. But the Beatles songs were so new that most of the audience members didn't know the lyrics, as you can see in the original footage. This was a major historical event that triggered a huge boom in the music industry known as the British Invasion. The tears and primal screaming of the young women in the Beatles audience helped to purge the collective terror and sadness that Kennedy's brutal assassination had caused less than 3 months earlier, and that other difficult events, including wars and political assassinations, would cause as well. This cathartic, ear-shattering screaming continued happening at every show and ultimately caused the Beatles to retire from all public performances just 2.5 years after their landmark Ed Sullivan appearance in August 1966. They no longer felt their shows were about the music and couldn't even hear themselves performing. They immediately began work on their groundbreaking Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album in late November 1966. Paul McCartney, with a little help from John Lennon, may have been trying to cheer up the crowds by writing a song with the chorus "It's Getting Better All the Time" on this album, and helped set the tone for a positive future. George Harrison wrote "Within You, Without You," which had a surprisingly deep spiritual message, including the idea that love, individually and collectively, could save the world. It was set to traditional Indian musical instruments and modern orchestra, further enhancing the mystical feel of the song. When you've seen beyond yourself, then you may find peace of mind is waiting there. And the time will come when you see we're all one, and life flows on within you and without you. This music helped spark multiple revolutionary changes, but none quite so widespread as the French Student Rebellion. However, the battle against the nemesis that seemed to have killed Kennedy was not yet over. The struggle became even more personal when the Vietnam War dramatically expanded under the presidency of Richard Nixon in 1968. Now, hundreds of thousands of young American men were being drafted into the military to fight an apparent war against communism that no one really understood or supported. Nixon had run against Kennedy in the previous election and lost, and now Nixon was the figurehead ordering every young man in America into the Vietnam death machine. Everyone suspected that the government killed Kennedy because he wouldn't dance the way they wanted him to. The media was humiliated by supporting the ridiculous idea of a single bullet that zinged around in several different directions and made right-angle turns in a feeble attempt to explain how Kennedy suffered 2 different gunshot wounds from completely different angles. This widespread public suspicion of a media cover-up could be seen as the magic gift, a talisman of embarrassing truth that would inspire the media to come roaring back with a vengeance in their pursuit of the Watergate scandal. 5 years after Kennedy was assassinated, tens of thousands of young Americans had been sent to their deaths under the Nixon administration. Hundreds of thousands more were traumatized with the horrors of war after being drafted into military service against their will. Anyone unlucky enough to be between 18 and 30 years old in the late 1960s and early 1970s was in a life-and-death struggle against the ultimate nemesis in a way that teenagers of the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s would never understand with the same degree of immediacy and passion. My father was one of them. He volunteered for the Army Reserve in the hope of avoiding Vietnam, but ended up having to go anyway. The Beatles, who had originally served only as a convenient distraction in the aftermath of Kennedy's assassination by writing simple, non-political love songs, became genuine mentor figures. The Beatles' songs were talismans that inspired a social and spiritual revolution, with titles like All You Need Is Love, Getting Better, All Together Now, Here Comes the Sun, Revolution, John Lennon's first solo single, Give Peace a Chance, and John Lennon's Imagine. In the Watergate scandal, journalists became heroes in the great story, revealing a key weakness in the nemesis that was sending young men to their deaths. Nixon's Republican Party was secretly wiretapping the offices of the Democrats in order to listen in on their strategies to defeat them in the election. This was a very real form of election rigging and revealed that the administration was willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get what it wanted. The Watergate scandal plunged America into a third act, where Americans could win a major victory against their own nemesis. By this point, the dark night of the soul had been worked through, and a practical way to fight the behemoth of the Vietnam War was finally achieved. Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison's songs provided the perfect soundtrack for this critical moment in the story. President Nixon was fully exposed, was threatened with impeachment, and ultimately resigned from office before his inevitable downfall occurred. On a deeper level, Watergate provided absolute proof that the government was lying and set in motion a truth movement that has been growing ever since. Never again could the cabal rely on mass ignorance and a complacent lapdog media to cover up their actions. The full outcome of this third act struggle has not yet been realized. But again, these cycles can take many years to culminate. What very few of us have realized until now is that Roman wars and, in some cases, political events in the Age of Aries correspond precisely with American wars and political events, including the Watergate scandal in the Age of Pisces. I wouldn't be surprised if we find a popular movement in the Roman arts that corresponds very nicely with the Beatles, although I have not yet found a resource that is specific enough to conduct that research. However, the precision with which Roman history reappears as 20th century American history in the next zodiac cycle, 2,160 years later, is nothing short of dazzling, and it's still working, as we will see in Chapter 15. Rome was clearly the biggest empire in the Age of Aries, and the United States became the sole superpower in the 20th century within the Age of Pisces. The Edgar Cayce readings revealed that most Americans are part of a secondary group of people who had previously incarnated in Rome. This same core group of Romans apparently recreated their society in a new form and then experienced the same major historical events again in the hopes of creating a more favorable outcome. Specific 2,160-year overlaps in Roman and American history. In order to see the parallels between Roman and American history, we must see how countries can become characters that oppose each other in the story, much like the hero opposes the nemesis. Prior to 264 BC, Rome and Carthage were comparable in size and strength as republics, which created a vigorous power struggle between them. Rome soundly defeated Carthage in the First Punic War, which raged from 264 to 241 BC. This consolidated Rome's status as an empire. Rome became the sole superpower of the day. As one historian wrote, quote, "The Punic Wars, the first of which began in 264 BC, mark the beginning of a transition of Rome the Republic into the Roman Empire," end quote. If we go 2,160 years into the future from this period, we have the years 1896 to 1919 in the United States. Encyclopedia Britannica lists almost these exact same years, 1896 to 1920, as part of the subheading, quote, "United States, Imperialism, the Progressive Era, and the Rise to World Power," end quote. The First Punic War was an aggressive attempt by Rome to expand its power. And 2,160 years later, in 1896, McKinley won the election and immediately began an aggressive expansion of U.S. power. The United States became an imperialist nation as soon as McKinley was elected, just as Rome became an imperialist nation when it attacked Carthage in 264 BC. The USS Maine sank on February 15, 1898, creating an inciting incident that contributed to the start of the Spanish-American War. The United States quickly won this war, which further expanded its imperial powers. The Spanish-American War was only one front in a much greater battle the United States was waging against Europe in general, but particularly Germany, the other big kid on the block, in its struggle to achieve global economic control. The Federal Reserve System consolidated U.S. economic power in 1913, outsourcing the issuance of American currency to a small, highly powerful cabal of bankers, many of whom were not U.S. citizens. This allowed the United States to provide the raw power the cabal needed in their battle for global financial control. America's economic war again became a military war when it entered World War I in 1917 against Germany. The United States provided the critical support that led to Germany's total defeat. We now have solid evidence that the cabal financed both sides of World War I, so they would emerge victorious regardless of which side won. This may have happened in Roman history as well, between Rome and Carthage, though it would probably be very difficult to find documentation to prove such a conspiracy for events that happened well over 2,000 years ago. Although a single cabal appears to have been playing both sides against the middle in World War I, this cabal exploited real tensions that existed among the people. Their goal was to get the people angry and convince them that their own country's alliance was the hero and the opposing country's alliance was the nemesis. Then the people could be moved to support a major, bloody conflict once again, rather than seeing diplomacy and negotiations as a viable road to peace. Again, just to review, the First Punic War against Carthage started in 264 BC. Exactly 2,160 years later, McKinley transformed the United States into an aggressive imperialist nation that declared economic war on Europe, and particularly Germany. Rome's First Punic War ended in 241 BC. Exactly 2,160 years later, Germany signed the Treaty of Versailles, ending World War I on June 28, 1919. Article 231 of the treaty made Germany financially responsible for all damages the war had caused in other countries. This ensured that Germany's defeat would be total. The cabal stripped the German people of their wealth, diverting their resources into corporate contracts that would rebuild the industries and infrastructure that had been destroyed by the war. These contracts were made with corporations owned by the cabal itself, thus ensuring that the economic pillaging of the German people strengthened the cabal's corporate power even more. This economic disaster also created widespread fear and anger, which allowed for the rise of Hitler and the Nazi Party. This looting strategy is one of many ways in which, by 2011, the Federal Reserve banking cabal secretly had come to control 80% of all the money earned on Earth, as revealed by Dr. Glatfelder's team of scientists. America became the supreme economic power in the world, just as Rome's defeat of Carthage in 261 BC drained the Carthaginians of their wealth and quickly transformed the Roman Republic into the Roman Empire. The Second Punic War. According to Masson, quote, "The Second Punic War, the gravest and most dangerous for Rome, started in 218 BC and ended in 201 BC, end quote. This war, quote, brought Rome within a hair's breadth of destruction, end quote. This is an important point, as there is no guarantee that these aggressive imperialist moves will actually succeed in any given cycle. The health of an entire country and its people is put at grave risk as these geopolitical chess games are being played out. Yet, just as Rome narrowly managed to achieve victory in the previous zodiac cycle, the United States accomplished a similarly difficult triumph in the Age of Pisces. The Second Punic War, which again started in 218 BC, according to Helmer and Masson, was followed 2,160 years later by America's entrance into World War II in 1942. The Japanese created an inciting incident by bombing Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, just 3 weeks before the year 1942 began. America's entrance into World War II therefore came within months or even weeks of Rome's entrance into the Second Punic War in the previous zodiac cycle. The mystical power of the zodiac cycle again becomes clear. The cycle equivalent of Carthage in our own Age of Pisces clearly appears to be Germany, and World War II again pitted the United States, Rome, against Germany, Carthage. Rome was nearly defeated in the Second Punic War, just as the United States was nearly defeated by Hitler and his army of Nazis. Hitler was not the first. Hitler, the most ruthless, aggressive military strategist of our time, the face of pure evil, a compelling leader who roused the most lethally effective military campaign in the Age of Pisces. Is there anyone like Hitler in the earlier version of World War II, the Second Punic War in the Age of Aries? Yes, he is considered the greatest military strategist in history. His name also starts with an H. His name also shares the letters I and L with Hitler. He was the face of pure evil in the Age of Aries. He created naked mass aggression on a scale never before seen on Earth. His name was Hannibal. Just like the word Hitler in our time, the name Hannibal is synonymous with pure evil. It translates as Baal is my Lord, or with the grace of Baal. In biblical Hebrew, Baal is the equivalent of Satan. Baalzebub, or Lord of the Flies in Hebrew, becomes Beelzebub. Hannibal's name proclaims Baal to be his Lord, guiding his every action. Matthew Barnes, who earned a master's degree from the Interdisciplinary Center in Herzliya, Israel, made a direct comparison between Carthage under Hannibal and Germany under Hitler, having no conscious idea of their zodiac cycle connection. Quote, "The First Punic War came to an end after 23 years of bitter fighting on both land and sea. As the victor, Rome became the dominant Mediterranean naval power, and Carthage suffered a humiliating defeat. Carthaginian expansion was checked, their influence challenged, and their pride severely damaged. It is from this background that Hannibal Barca, the son of Hamilcar Barca, a First Punic War general, came to the fore. Carthage, after the First Punic War, was comparable to post-World War I Germany, for a great power was beaten, humbled, reduced, and forced to accept terms which whet the appetite for revenge. It could be argued that Carthage had been spoiling for a fight since the day of their defeat at the Battle of the Egets Islands," end quote.